should explain. Short explanation. Why I won't be speaking long. And why I'm going to do what I'm thinking of doing. Two kinds of throat infection right now, so it's not so easy to talk. It's definitely impossible to sing, so that's why I'm not in kirtan. And I tried to have it treated when I first arrived in the United States. I didn't know what it was. They put me on some course of antibiotics, and somehow it didn't work. And then I gave a couple of lectures a few days ago in North Carolina, and then it got really bad, so I decided to go see a specialist yesterday. So now I'm on another course of antibiotics and some other kind of medication to treat the other kind of infection, and the doctor said I should rest my voice. So I'm going to attempt to rest my voice tonight. And the way I thought I would attempt to rest my voice is by speaking minimally, but also by trying to include all of you. in the discussion and talk that we'll give a little bit tonight about Lord Ramachandra. And first I'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And I just pick any verse. Purusho Ramacharitam Shavanaya Upadharayan. Anirishamsya Paro Rajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchite. Translation. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. Could you give me something hot? Is that hot?
No.
Yeah, hot. Yeah. Water.
Water.
Yeah. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Purport. Here, in this material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from the bondage of birth and death. As long as one is not completely freed from the cause of birth and death, one cannot enter the Sanatan Dhamma or the eternal pastimes of the Lord. One becomes envious because of being influenced by the designations of the body. But the liberated devotee has nothing to do with the body, therefore he's completely on the transcendental platform. Devotee is never envious of anyone, even his enemy, because the devotee knows that the Lord is his supreme protector. He thinks, what harm can the so-called enemy do? Thus a devotee is confident about his protection. The Lord says, Yeyata mam prapajante tangsatava bhajamyaham. According to the proportion of one's surrender unto me, I respond accordingly. Devotee must therefore be completely free from envy, especially of other devotees. To envy other devotees is a great offense, a Vaishnava aparad. Devotee who constantly engages in hearing and chanting, Shravana Kirtana, is certainly freed from the disease of envy, and thus he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Translation again, O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. Om Agyanatimananda Syagaranjana Salakaya Chakshur Naditamya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Koroti Vachalam Bhangam Nangaya Tegarim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinataranam Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamin Itinamane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pasta Chade Satarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Hari Srivasadi Gaurav Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this verse says that anyone who orally receives narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will become free from the disease of envy and become liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. And Prabhupada says that a devotee who engages in hearing and chanting Shravana Kirtana is freed from the disease of envy. So it's auspicious invocation for a discussion on Lord Ramachandra on his auspicious appearance day. Certainly we should try to hear and to speak something in relationship to his transcendental activities. As Krishna says, Janmakama Chame Deviam Ivan Yoviti Tatvata, that anyone who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and my activities in this world will never have to take his birth again, but he will attain my eternal abode. So both Janma, appearance, and karma, activities, are both transcendental, especially when they are discussed in relationship to the Lord. I was recently reading from and speaking about, it was the last time I gave a lecture, besides these two lectures here, it was on Gaur Purnima. I don't have the strength to compete. I was speaking, it was from a lecture that was given by His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami, but he was citing references from previous acharyas. And he was speaking about the nature of the greed of the Lord. And in this connection, while speaking about the Lord's greed, he included some references to Lord Ramachandra. But in order to put it all into perspective, maybe I should try to give a summary about the Lord's greed and what does it have to do with our discussion tonight about Lord Ramachandra. As soon as we hear the word greed, immediately we think, well, greed is something that is inauspicious and something which we should never speak of in relationship to the Lord. Krishna even speaks about it in the Bhagavad Gita. He says there's three gates that lead to hell, and one of them is greed, anger, and lust. So, on one hand, we are talking about material greed, and Krishna is speaking about material greed. And certainly, when we speak about material greed, we should understand that such greed is inauspicious and leads to degradation. But then, there is spiritual greed. And in fact, one of our previous acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, in speaking about lust, anger, greed, he says in relationship to greed that those who experience greed can dovetail it by becoming greedy to associate with devotees who are speaking about the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And in fact, in a conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that pure devotional service cannot be had even by millions of births of pious activities, but pure devotional service can be obtained by those who have an intense greed to purchase it. And therefore, wherever one sees it, one should immediately purchase it without delay. So in this conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, this discussion is also giving reference to the nature of transcendental or spiritual greed. That, as is stated in the Bhagavatam, I think it was Narada Muni speaking to, no, it was yeah, Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva. He says that does not such a thing which is therapeutically applied cure that which was caused by the very same thing. And he gives the example, Prabhupada gives an example in the commentary that just like one may have a disease due to excessive indulgence of milk products, but it can be cured by another form of milk products, curd. And if one takes curd, it can cure that which was caused by the very same thing. So, material greed is the cause of degradation, and spiritual greed is the cause of elevation. So certainly, there are references which speak about how spiritual greed is beneficial and how it is awakened. And one of the ways that it is awakened is by association with those who have greed. So if it is awakened by association with those who have greed, then when we're speaking about the pastimes of the Lord, and this is what we're speaking about specifically in connection to the Lord, is that the Lord also has greed. And his greed is never material. And his greed is a desire to experience something that he wasn't experiencing, and he wanted to experience it. And therefore, the fullest manifestation of his greed was actually experienced as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Lord Chaitanya is described, he has external reasons for appearing, and he has internal reasons for appearing. His external reasons for appearing are to benefit others, and that was to distribute the holy name of the Lord, and by introducing the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and to answer the call of Advaita Acharya. These were his external reasons for appearing. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that he also had internal reasons for appearing. And the internal reasons why he wanted to appear as Lord Chaitanya is because as Krishna, he was thinking that he wanted to know what is it that my devotees, what is this love they have for me? He wanted to know the nature of the devotees' love for him. He wanted to know what qualities does he have that's so attractive to his devotees. And he also wanted to taste the happiness that the devotees experience in loving him. And this was described as his greed. He wanted to experience something that as Krishna he couldn't experience, because as Krishna, he is the Vishaya Vigraha. He is the object of love. And the devotee is described as the Ashraya Vigraha, or he is the reservoir of love. So it's not possible for the object of love to experience what those who love him are experiencing. And therefore, he had this greed. And in explaining how this greed that was experienced by Lord Chaitanya manifested, the Acharyas have given an evolution, a very interesting evolution, about the Lord's greed and why he appears in different incarnations. And the example which was first given is that as Lord Vishnu, he has all opulences, and one of them is he has strong, bala, strength. So somebody who has such great strength, they want to use it. So the Lord wanted to use his strength. And therefore, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, the internal potency of the Lord, when the Lord wanted to use his strength, the internal potency of the Lord arranged for the Lord to fight with somebody. So, because who can be an equal competitor to the Lord, or somebody who is as powerful as the Lord? So the internal energy arranged for the Lord's devotees, Jai and Vijay, to take birth in this material world so that the Lord could fight with them. So because the Lord had a desire to fight, he had this strength, therefore, because of this greed, this desire he had, therefore, the gatekeepers of the Vaikuntha planets, Jai and Vijay, ultimately it was arranged that they be cursed by the four Kumaras, and therefore they had to take birth three times as demons. First is Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Second is Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And then is Shishupal and Dantavakra in the pastimes of Krishna. So, and then in the next appearance of the Lord, he appeared as Lord Nrisimhadeva. And as we know, he appeared to fight with Hiranyakashipu. And when he appeared as Lord Nrisimhadeva, then Lord Nrisimhadeva manifested a very fearsome form, and also he manifested a form which was very passive. But that passive form of Lord Nrisimhadeva was not achieved until Prahlad actually approached Lord Nrisimhadeva and offered prayers. Prior to when the Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared to protect Prahlad, he was very, very angry. And as we know, in that anger, he killed Hiranyakashipu, which was, as we said, the first appearance of the demon of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And then, after killing Hiranyakashipu, then all the demigods saw this very fearsome form of the Lord, and then the demigods wanted to pacify the Lord, but every time they approached the Lord could not be pacified. And finally they looked to Prahlad, and they said to Prahlad, "Why don't you try and to approach the Lord?" And Prahlad was a young 5-year-old boy. He approached the Lord and offered very beautiful, eloquent prayers to the Lord. And the Lord became very pacified by Prahlad and manifested his very passive form. And he actually took Prahlad on his lap. And he placed Prahlad on his lap. And then he started feeling this parental affection towards Prahlad. And Prahlad was feeling some affection towards Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Lord Nrisimhadeva, while he was feeling this perfection towards Prahlad, he began to see that his devotee Prahlad was experiencing something wonderful. And therefore he was thinking that, what is he feeling? He's feeling a wonderful experience of having somebody offering fatherly affection. So as Lord Nrisimhadeva, he was thinking, it would be very nice if I could experience this also, because my father was a pillar. And therefore, every time the Lord appeared subsequent to Lord Nisringadev, he always appeared with a father and a mother. So on his next appearance, he had his father and his mother. His father was Dasarath, this Lord Ramachandra. So this was another example of how the Lord had a desire. He was greedy. He wanted to experience having a father and a mother. So then it's explained then as Lord Ramachandra, the Lord had relationships, friendly relationships. He made friends with Vibhishana and Sugriva. And if we read in the Ramayana, we see that how Lord Ramachandra was upon the recommendation of Kabanda, who told him to go and to make friends after Kabanda was killed and he assumed his form. He gave Lord Ramachandra the recommendation that he should go make friends with Sugriva, because Sugriva can help you. He's the king of the Vanaras. And if you make, because he also was in need, because Sugriva's brother was Vali, and Vali had usurped Sugriva's kingdom, and Sugriva wanted to get his kingdom back, so he thought they could mutually benefit each other. That Ramachandra could make, if he made friends with Sugriva, then he could benefit by having Sugriva and all of his army of monkeys to help look for Sita. And and then, of course, Sugriva would benefit, because it would be a way to get back the kingdom for Bali if he made good friendship with Ramachandra. So he made friendships with Sugriva and with Vibhishana, who was, as we know, the brother of Ravana. But in Ramlila, the friendship that Lord Ramachandra had with Vibhishana, such as with Vibhishana and Sugriva, there's two types of friendship. One is called Vibhrama, which is friendship which is on a platform of awe and reverence. And another type is called Vishramba. And Vishramba is the type of friendship like that Krishna has with his friends in Vrindavan. In Vishramba friendship, there's no awe and reverence. And therefore, Lord Ramachandra experienced friendship. Here we go, I'm going to lose it. Huh?
Can't lose it now.
It gets to that point where all of a sudden it starts disappearing. Can I have this hot again? Can you maybe?
That's the other one.
It's steaming, yeah.
No. Just, yeah, make it, but not too hot. But hot. So, friendship was a kind of an awe and reverence type friendship that he had with Vibhishana and Sugriva. They were always extremely respectful. They were never in any way like Krishna's friends in Krishna Leela. Krishna's friends in Krishna Leela, he wanted to have the kind of friendship where they would be equals, and his friends would see him equally. And Lord Ramachandra wanted to have that kind of friendship, not just the official type of awe and reverence type of friendship, seeing him as the Supreme Lord. So he developed some greed for having friends like Krishna has friends. And he also developed some greed, because one of the qualities or characteristics of Lord Ramachandra, which we're going to speak about tonight, is that he was Mayardha Purushottam. There are different characteristics of the Lord. Mayardha Purushottam means that Lord Ramachandra he was the ideal king. He was the ideal son. He was the ideal friend. He was the ideal husband. In all respects, he was completely ideal, and he was always very strict in his following of the etiquette and regulations of ideal friend, king, husband, everything like that. And one of the vows he had taken was Ekapatnivrata. So as Ekapatnivrata, as we know, Lord Ramachandra made a vow that he would accept only one wife. And but yet, and as that experience of Ekapatnivrata was there, of accepting only one wife, he manifested so many things which we're going to talk about, I think, a little bit, maybe ask you to speak a little bit about also, or some of the qualities of Mayana Purushottam. In fact, it's very interesting that when we speak about Lord Ramachandra, we always think of Mayana Purushottam, that he was the ideal everything. But there is another manifestation of the Lord as Krishna, where he's known as Lila Purushottam. And as Lila Purushottam, Krishna had many wonderful pastimes, but they seem to be sometimes people who don't really understand the reason behind the Lord's pastimes as Lila Purushottam with the gopis. They may think that oh, Ramachandra, he was the ideal Lord, but Krishna, he was associated with others' wives. But that's his Leela. And that's his Leela. Of satisfying the innermost desires of his devotees. Therefore, in Krishna's pastimes, Krishna associated, although he's known as Gopikanta, the husband of the gopis, he's known as Radhakanta, husband of Radharani. Still, it was arranged that it appeared that the gopis had others, had husbands, and Krishna would meet with them. So he had this desire, and therefore, although in Ekapatnivrata, the Lord had only one wife, and he also experienced union and separation from that wife. Separation was experienced when Sita was kidnapped by Ravan. Separation was also experienced when Sita was banished, and she went to the ashram of Valmiki. But that kind of separation and union was kind of a forced arrangement, and there was not so much variety to it. And therefore the Lord developed some greed as Ramachandra for associating with in a different way than as Ekapatnivrata, which he experienced as Krishna and his association with the gopis. So this is another manifestation of the Lord having a desire, wanting to experience something that he wasn't experiencing as Ramachandra. This led to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Then of course, after the appearance of Lord Krishna, there was the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was, first we have Mayara Purushottam, then we have Lila Purushottam, but Lord Chaitanya is known as Prem Purushottam. And as Prema Purushottam, Lord Chaitanya was the manifestation of the greed of the Lord to its highest degree. He wanted to experience what it was that my devotees experience, their love, the love they have for me. As Krishna, he couldn't experience it, but he wanted to taste it. He wanted to know. So he became greedy for that. So he wanted to know the nature of their love. He wanted to know, what is it that makes my qualities so attractive that they love me so much? Why? How could he? And the example is given is that sometimes if one wants to see himself, he'll look in the mirror. But at best, all he can see in the mirror is a reflection. He doesn't see himself. But when Krishna wants to know about his own beauty, when he looks in the heart of his devotees, his pure devotees, his premi bhaktas, what to speak of the topmost devotees such as Srimati Radharani, he doesn't see a reflection, but he sees himself. Therefore, he was actually able to experience what the devotees experience, the qualities he has, by adopting the mood of the topmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. So he had some greed. He wanted to experience what made him so attractive, what the qualities that made him so attractive, and he wanted to know, why do my devotees seem so much happier in serving me? Because it appears that the devotees are even millions of times happier in serving Krishna than Krishna's experience, the happiness that Krishna experienced. So he wanted to taste that happiness. So again, his greed led to the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who ultimately experienced that greed in the highest way. So, in explaining all of this, we should come to understand that when the Lord has greed, it is not selfish greed, because the Lord's greed is what actually gives pleasure to his devotees. And therefore, because it's completely spiritual. So, therefore, as another example of Lord Ramachandra, if we come back again, was Lord Ramachandra also had this vow, as we said, of Ekapatni Dara, Ekapatni Vrata. And when he was exiled into the forest, and the personified Vedas actually were there as the sages of Dandakaranya, they actually developed, when they saw Lord Ramachandra's beauty, they actually developed a desire. They wanted to have a relationship with the Lord as husband and wife. And in fact, Prabhupada talks about it. I just noticed it. Today, Prabhupada talks about it in the Nectar of Devotion, says something very interesting about that. Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, in chapter 16, he says that in the Padma Purana, it is explained that during the manifest pastimes of Sri Ramachandra, while the Lord was residing in the forest of Dandakaranya, he came across the personified Vedas, who were all deeply engaged in intense devotional service. At that time, as soon as they beheld the beautiful form of Lord Sri Ram, they were all captivated by the Lord's beauty, and immediately thought of the gopis of Vrindavan, who enjoyed conjugal loving affection with Krishna. Immersed in this spiritual ecstasy, the Vedas personified desired to embrace Lord Ram. However, as the Lord had descended in this incarnation as Mayada Purushottam to establish the character of an ideal person as a husband, king, son, and father, he vowed to accept only one consort, therefore making it impossible for the Upanishads and other Vedas personified to act in that capacity that they so eagerly desired for. However, knowing that Lord Sri Krishna could fulfill their desires, being the full-fledged personality of Godhead, they prayed to become gopis so that it would be possible for them to relish the transcendental mellow of Madhurya Bhava with Sri Krishna. After hearing the prayers of the personified Vedas, Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Ramachandra remained silent, which showed that he accepted their prayers. Thus they were blessed by Lord Ramachandra to have association with Lord Krishna in their future lives. As a result of this benediction, they all took birth as women in the wombs of gopis at Gokul, and as they had desired in their previous lives, they enjoyed the company of Lord Krishna, who was present at that time in Gokul of Vrindavan. So again, for the same reason, Mayada Purushottama, therefore these sages of Dandakaranya could not have that kind of relationship, so therefore they had to take birth again in Krishna's Leela so that they could become gopis and experience that, because the Lord would not accept anyone except one wife. And in fact, it's even explained, I think in Srimad Bhagavatam it's explained, that one of his characteristics of Ekapatni Vrata is that after Sita was banished and then she entered the earth, then Lord Ramachandra continued to rule the kingdom for, I think, 13,000 years and practiced celibacy the whole rest of his life. And he also, as described also, when Sita entered into the earth, he was to perform, I think, 10,000 Ashwamedha yagyas. And the very first, it was after she, and at the very first Ashwamedha yagya, Lord Ramachandra, he made a golden image of Sita to have there, so he would be with her only. And that image was there for all 10,000 Ashwamedha yagyas. Every yagya that was performed, that image of golden image of Sita was there. So we can think of many examples, at least I could think of. In fact, I even compiled a few. But because I said I wasn't going to do all the talking, I would like to hear, because what maybe some of you as who know Ramlila, and we talk about Mayada Purushottam, how Lord Ramachandra was ideal king, ideal son. I'm sure many of you can come up with the description of how he was the ideal son. He was the ideal husband. He was the ideal friend. I thought maybe that I could maybe inquire if any of you would like to give examples of how Lord Ramachandra is Mayada Purushottam, how he ideally displayed these ideal character in all of these relationships. Now, I can think of some, but you're going to help me tonight so I can still have a voice tomorrow, because I'm supposed to do another program. And I have to take these antibiotics for 10 days. So I've already talked longer than I thought I would talk. So who's going to help me? Yes.
When Father told to Lord Ramachandra to go in exile, he just obeyed his order and he just left.
Yes.
So it was one of them.
Why did his father tell him to go into exile?
Because
And there are many examples of Mayada in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, not just by Ramachandra, but by Dasarath, by Sita, by Lakshman. There are also different examples, with not just Ramachandra. So why did Dasarath exile?
Because it was connected to another story that he had. He was at some point he promised to his wife that she could ask him any two desires. She could whatever she would ask him twice, then he would do this.
He promised.
And
why? Do you remember?
Because she was favorite wife.
No, something else.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was fighting and he was almost dying, and she provided a lot of nourishment for him, and he was very grateful for that.
Uh-huh.
And then he promised. He gave his word, and the word was very important to keep. And he asked her, "What can I do for you? You could anything you want, just twice." And then he asked. She asked him that not now, but maybe later in time, I will ask you that. And she was very jealous that, you know, that Ramachandra was that good and everything so perfect. And she didn't want him to become king, right?
She wanted someone else to become king.
Mm-hmm.
By some, who, she was influenced by somebody.
by the another woman who was there, Mataji, who was serving, right?
Yeah. Her name?
Mantra.
Gaki was the wife. Mantra. Uh-huh.
So she was
a servant.
Uh-huh. She was servant, and she was doing this talk to her and trying to and the talk influenced her. She was listening, and finally it influenced her.
Okay.
And then she developed this desire to send Lord Ramachandra away.
Uh-huh.
And then at some time, at some point,
her son was?
Bharat, yes. and then she asked him at some point that I would like you to perform this desire. And my desire is that if you gave me a word, so would you do this? And she asked. The first one was to send Lord Ramachandra to 13 years to the forest in exile. And the second one was
install Bharat.
Install Bharat as a king.
Okay, now another example. Yes.
Talk louder.
Monkeys had told Ramachandra. Ramachandra promised the monkeys that he would help them in another life. And as Krishna, he would help the monkeys by giving them Bharat.
By giving them Bharat? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very good. Okay.
When Sita was going to get married, there was a contest to win her hand in marriage, and she could lift this bow, but no one else could in the kingdom. So a bunch of princes came and they tried to lift the bow, and no one could do it. But when Ram lifted it, he not only lifted it, but when he strung it, he ended up breaking it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the result was?
That he won her hand in marriage.
Okay. Another example of Mayada. Yes.
Lakshmana, who is the brother of Lord Rama, during those 14 years, he never slept. And he, during the night time when Lord Rama was sleeping, so he was keep on serving Lord Rama during those 14 years to make sure there are no mosquitoes biting him or no cheetah in the jungle coming, like, you know. So that is one of the great serving Mariyada.
Uh-huh. Yes?
So when Ravana kicked out Sugriva out of the kingdom, he crossed the ocean and went to take shelter of Lord Ram. And Lord Ram asked his associates that time, like Angad and Sugriva. And even Lakshmana suggested that this is Ravana's younger brother and maybe he's come here to spy on our army. So we shouldn't accept him. But Lord Ram, although he had inquired from his associates, he very lovingly accepted Vibhishan in his service, and he proclaimed that even if Ravana comes and surrenders to me, I will take him in my shelter.
Uh-huh. Very good. Very good. Okay. Something else? Yes?
Lord Ram has been to the forest for 14 years, and Bharat came to know regarding this. Then Bharat has came there to take him back, and so Kekai and all those forced them to go back, but he did not go because he told that Kekai also told him that he is free of the responsibility. He did not do that because she realized her mistake later. Then he told that he cannot go back as that will be the violation of the order which his father has given to him.
Right, and because his father had passed on.
Passed away. It would have done if his father is alive, then Kekai has, you know, done that with him.
Very good. Very, very good. Someone else? Yeah?
Lord Ramachandra was a Mariyada Purusha. He was one of the best friends of Guha. Guha was a boatman who helped Rama cross a river when he was in the forest with Sita Devi. And so Rama never forgot his love and friendship. And in fact, he extolled Guha and told him, like, you are like my fifth brother, so I will count you as my brother. Like, that much he loved Guha because of his friendship that he showed towards Rama.
Uh-huh. Somebody else who hasn't spoken yet?
When Lord Rama went to jungle, so he was hungry, and then he had to go to a hut where Shabari, the old lady, was there, and he was feeling so hungry, and then she was so much in love with Lord Rama, and she was so excited to see Lord Rama and Lakshmana. And then she bring those fruits, and she was offering to Lord Rama. She was first biting those fruits and giving it to Lord, and to check if those fruits are sweet. She was just biting and see, and then whatever the fruit was sweet, and she was giving that fruit to Lord Rama. But Lakshman was feeling a little bit why Lord Rama is eating those fruits, but out of love. Lord Rama was eating those fruits, although those were written there.
Uh-huh. Keetamala?
So Lord Rama was such an ideal king that when Sita came back from Ravana and he was established on the throne, one of his citizens complained that, why are you taking a wife that has been kidnapped by somebody else? He was such an ideal king that he listened to the one citizen and sent Sita, who was pregnant with twins, to the forest as an ideal king. But I have a question on that. So his being an ideal king trumped his being an ideal husband? Because Lakshman was so upset because Lakshman had to drive her to the forest and leave her in the forest. And in fact, Lakshman was so upset, he said that, in the next incarnation, I want to be your elder brother. Because I don't want to listen to instructions like this that I have to obey on your behalf. So I have a question on that. Even though he was an ideal king, is that Trump is being an ideal husband in that case?
Seems to be. But also, Sita also was the ideal wife. Yes.
Can I add to that? I've read somewhere that Sita had once asked Rama that, you know, she wanted to go visit sage Valmiki again, you know, and mainly when she was pregnant and stuff. So this was one of her desires too, which Sri Ram kind of
Actually, just in connection to the point that you made, we also have to take into consideration that Sita's will was also involved, because she wanted to protect the reputation of her husband. And therefore, she was willing to go to protect Ram's reputation. So actually, it was even voluntary on her part to go to protect the reputation of Ram. So that's another element that needs to be added to that. go ahead.
Another point of view is Lord Rama, before sending Sita to Vanvas, he actually begged Bharat Maharaj to take his kingdom. He doesn't want to be, you know, as a king. So if he wouldn't be king, then, you know, he doesn't need to send Sita Devi to Vanvas. So he went to everyone to take kingdom, and then but still nobody listened. So then as an ideal king, even though he was I mean, as a king, he can have he could have many wives, but still, you know, he stayed with Sita Devi, and then when she was not there, as you were explaining, Maharaj, you know, he made a golden statue of Sita Devi and did all the yagyas, and the only reason of sending Sita Devi was because as an ideal king, you know, somebody, his praja, you know, complained about her wife. That's why, you know, like he sent. He is an ideal husband. not for sending, but like for loving Sita Devi so much.
Able to speak of all he had to go through to rescue her.
Yeah.
And what to speak of, when Sita told Ramachandra, you know, to look at the beautiful deer, Lord Ram knew who it was. He could have said, don't you realize who that deer was? But he didn't. So just to follow the request of his wife, he went after the deer. Yes?
Maharaj, Lord Ramachandra was ideal husband because, you know, when Shurpanakha came, like, you know, disguised as a most beautiful woman, but Lord Ramachandra was not, you know, fascinated towards her. But just to make, you know, because he knew that she's a demon, witch, so, you know, he said that go to Lakshmana and get married. Like, you know, I'm like, I took a vow of, like, one wife in this life, so, you know. And then even when in separation with Sita, like when she was taken by Ravana to Lanka, Lord Ramachandra was crying all the time. Like he was missing her so much. Even when she was exiled also, like there was not a moment that Lord Rama was not missing Mother Sita. So in that aspect, you know, his ideal husband.
And it's also interesting to note that Supanaka appeared again in Krishna Leela as Kubja. And she got the opportunity. She got the opportunity to get her desires satisfied in Krishna Leela.
Wow. when Jatayu gave up his life fighting for Sita, you know, to protect Sita, and he had some of the jewelry that she dropped, you know, not only did Ram perform the last rites of Jatayu like a father, you know, like a son would do. He had like that fatherly affection for Jatayu.
Uh-huh.
And also when he saw the jewelry of Sita, he kind of fainted. He said off and on he would lose that much, you know, he would be that Sita, you know, he knew that he was on the right track, you know,
uh-huh,
trying to track her down.
Uh-huh.
Raja, I have a question. So there are so many examples. Is there an example where Lord Ram was an ideal father?
Well, you wanted to say something in this connection?
Yeah. Can I answer that one?
Okay.
So, finally, when, you know, Sita and Ram meet after Sita has the kid, and then Sita...
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
And Sita goes into Mother Earth, and she has the two kids. So Rama takes the two kids. He wants to unite with Sita too. But as a father, he still takes the kids, you know, grows them up. Like, he can't just drop the kingdom on their lap. So he's the ideal king as well as the ideal father, you know. He pains in separation with Sita, but he still goes through that till the princes are big enough to take over the kingdom. And then he, you know, like, he unites with Sita. So that's where he's the ideal father,
uh-huh,
in my mind.
Uh-huh. Good answer. Yes.
I read somewhere like Lord Ramachandra married Sita. Sita want to do service to Lord Rama, but Lakshman taking care of all the service, and Sitama could not able to do service. And at the time there was a conflict, and Lord Rama went and approached the Guru, and Guru told what are the service he says the palace should be taken care of, Sitama outside palace be taken care by Lord Lakshman. So Ram resolved the conflict very peacefully through
uh-huh.
even he can told that, but he managed very intelligently to resolve the conflict.
I was thinking also. Another example came to my mind is towards the end of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. I think it was Lord Brahma had sent a messenger to speak to Ramachandra, and the messenger was told to tell Ramachandra that the message he was giving him was so important that he could not be disturbed at all, and if anybody came to disturb them in the middle while they were speaking, then Ramachandra had to kill him. So the messenger came and they went into the room, and it was because the messenger from Lord Brahma was telling the Lord Ramachandra that you finished your pastimes here, and actually now it's time for you to give up your pastimes in this world and prepare to leave this world. And while he was explaining all this to him, I think, who was it? That was Durvasa Muni came. Durvasa Muni came and told Lakshman, I need to speak to Ramachandra right away. Was it something like that? And Lakshman said, no, you can't go in. Nobody can go in and disturb. And then Durvasa said, if I don't go in to speak to him right now, said that I will curse everyone in the family to have to die. So then Lakshman was thinking, well, if all my kinsmen have to die, then better I just die. So he went in to tell Lord Ramachandra about Durvasa Muni's presence there and wanted to speak to him. And then he wanted Lord Ramachandra, he understood that Lord Ramachandra had to uphold his word, and therefore he had to kill Lakshman. But instead of killing him, I think that was Lord Ramachandra decided that rather than killing him, as good as killing him was to cut off all relationships, all connections, to never see him again. And at that point, when he cut off all connections with Lakshman, Lakshman then went to the Sarayu at river, and I think he went to the Sarayu and prepared to give up, and I think it was somebody, maybe Indra came and took Lakshman, and he departed from the planet. So again, it was his determination to uphold whatever.
Why didn't Lakshman just tell the boss, well, here, go
ahead. Yeah, I
only PRI would ask that question. Anyways, I think we've gone long enough. You've helped me. Thank you by speaking and giving all these nice. You have something you wanted to add?
There's one list of qualities of Lord Ramachandra that I once saw, and I can't remember the whole list. I was trying to find it in my phone. I thought I had it somewhere, but it's describing his, you know, this, how he's a perfect human being, Marata Purushottama. And one of the qualities, the quality that most stood out for me, and that everyone I shared this with was most like kind of taken in by that quality, is that whenever someone would come to see Ramachandra, he would come from a distance. And you know, Ramachandra is a king, he's a very big man. So when you come to a big man, you kind of have to come there and wait, and you know, I'm here, you know, to hope for some attention. But on the contrary, Ramachandra, when someone would come to his presence, before that person would say anything, Ramachandra would be the first one to say, oh, how are you? Before that person could even hope that he would have his attention, Ramachandra would immediately greet that person and give his attention. So anyway, I thought it was very...
Ideal.
Ideal, yes. Ideal.
Ideal post.
Yeah. All right, so as the verse... We read that anyone who orally receives the narration concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. On that note, I think we can end here. Hare Krishna. All glories to Lord Ramachandra. Srila Prabhupada.
Ramachandra ki
jai.
Ramachandra Swami ki
jai.
What's next?
Bhakti Yatta.